Amen. We are continuing our series on a living sacrifice. Excuse me. One moment, please. Thank you. A living sacrifice. Let's go to our foundation text, Romans chapter 12. A living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, our foundation text. Talking about a sacrifice living, holy and acceptable. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If anyone needs a Bible, you can lift a hand and we'll give you one if you need one. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, "Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual, rational service of worship." Verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect." Verse 1 again, let's focus there. "Therefore I urge you, brothers." Brothers are those who are of the household of faith, those who are saved. "By the mercies," we went over that for about a month, what the mercies are those that are the graces and mercies outlined in the first 11 chapters. The first 11 chapters talk about our redemption. It talks about our justification. It talks about condemnation, that there is therefore now no condemnation. It talks about freedom from sin. It says when we submit ourselves to the word of God, to the will of God, we then are slaves to righteousness when we once were slaves of unrighteousness. So there's a ton of mercies that are outlined in chapters 1 through 11. And so Paul, the apostle, opens up under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "I exhort you, brothers, in view of all of those mercies that are outlined in the first 11 chapters of God, to do what? Present your body." So now he's saying, because of all those mercies, then I'm asking you to do something, because God has done everything for you. Amen. Now I'm asking you to do something for, in other words, the Lord is asking us to do something for him. And what is that? To present our bodies. To present us. We talked about us. Talked about bodies. We're talking about that now. We talked about how there was like seen in a movie where the husband had given the wife everything. And he was rich and he had bought all kind of cars, diamond furs, houses and everything. And she was still unhappy, very unhappy. And he, in his frustration, had said, what is wrong with you? And I've given you everything you want. And she said, "Everything but what I really want. And that is, I want you. I don't want what you can give me. I want you, person. Give me yourself." And that's what God is asking from us. He's asking us to give us him. He's asking us to give us ourselves, our bodies. Now, when we talk about bodies, I know Word Life has heard this, but we want to go over it just briefly. We're still in review. We're talking about not just the body, but everything that the body entails. Thought processes, that which we say, our ability to make decisions, to deliberate, whatever our intentions are, arguments, reasonings, our will, our emotions. He's talking about all of that. One person defined the body as the outward organ of the soul, of the will, rather, the outward organ of the will. In other words, what your will wants to do is going to be expressed outwardly through your body. And then that's the case, then he says we need to sacrifice our bodies. Sacrificing our bodies first begins with sacrificing our heart. Sacrificing a body starts inward. Starts inward. The heart / soul. That's what needs to be sacrificed. We got to start there. And what does sacrificing the heart / soul looks like? Good question. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, if you do need a Bible, lift a hand, because we go to a lot of scripture here. We believe the word of God. Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And look at verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with the 5th verse. And it reads, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." What's the first thing we're going to do in sacrificing our bodies? It begins with our heart. What's the first thing we're going to do with that heart? Is to love the Lord our God with it. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. And with all your soul. And with all your might or your energy. We're to love the Lord our God with everything that we have within us. You don't just sacrifice the body without sacrificing the inward, the heart and the soul. We're to love him. And we aren't to love the Lord our God with our heart, but with all our heart and with all our soul. Let's look at the New Testament counterpart to this command. Look at the book of Mark. Let's turn to the gospel. According to Mark, the 12th chapter. And look at verse 30. Mark, the 12th chapter. Look at verse 30. We're answering the question, how do we love the Lord our God? Or how are we to love him with our heart? How are we to sacrifice our bodies? Where does sacrificing our bodies first begin? It begins in the heart and the soul. And with that, we're to love him. Look at Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Look at those four things: heart, soul, mind, strength. All of that is the inward of the body, the inward workings, the internal workings. We start there. Remember the whole thrust behind the Sermon on the Mount, what is commonly known, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. The whole thrust was to teach the Pharisees, who were external worshipers, if you will. In other words, they believed that what one did externally was what needed to be policed, if you will. But Jesus came with that familiar phrase that he spoke over and over again, particularly in Matthew 5. But I say unto you. He was telling them, you have heard that it has been said by them of old, which were the rabbis who were teaching them, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, so you're saying, Rabbi, you're teaching the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are teaching and supposedly being an example to the people, that if I don't outwardly commit adultery with another woman who's not my wife, that I'm good. If I don't do that outward act, I'm good. Jesus says, but I say unto you that if you lust in your heart by looking at a woman, you've already committed adultery. It's inward. It's already done. In the eyes of God, I've counted you as having committed adultery. That was devastating to the doctrine and the theology of the Pharisees, who live only according to the external. He says to them again, you say don't murder. Two, but I said to you that I got to get to the root of where murder comes from. That is anger in the heart. So Jesus said, but I said to you, if you have anger in your heart for your brother, that's where the murder has already happened in the eyes of God. If you're born again, if you are saved, if you are redeemed, whichever word you want to use, we got to realize we're not living for man. We got to recognize God's standard is much higher than man's. Man is saying, oh, you're a good guy. When you live for man's praise, that is living for the applause of men. We're not to live for the applause of men. We are to live for the well done, thy good and faithful slave. A lot of folks use the word servant because a lot of the interpreters, they wimped out, if you will. I want to say punked out, but they wimped out. And they chose not to use interpret that word properly. The word is doulos. Doulos in the Greek means slave. As a matter of fact, it's a third level galley slave. In other words, those big ships had levels in them, and the rowers would be in that third level working the hardest. That word carries with it that connotation of slave. Well done, thy good and faithful slave. We're slaves of the Most High. Not talking to black people and slaves and in today's all that. I can't worry about that. God chose the word doulos. I didn't.
Yeah.
So it's up to me to teach the whole counsel of God. It's up to me to not wimp out and be intimidated by society because I got a God I got to answer to. We have to realize, and see, one thing about getting our hearts right on the inside, we need to know what God says. And if the preachers are scared to say certain things, then how can you be right with God if you're not being taught what to do in front of this almighty, holy God? He is saying, I want you. I want everything about you. Give me everything about you. Present. That word present in the Greek, it means to just lay yourself on the altar before God and put yourself at his disposal to do with your life whatever he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary thought. I know Word Life has heard this for the third week, but it bears repeating. We love our supposed autonomy. Compound Greek word auto, self, nomos, law, a law unto ourselves. We love running things ourselves. We love having control of ourselves. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the master of my fate. No, you are not. That's a lie when you say, not if you're born again. You are not, even if you're not born again. Everything that's good comes from God. And what happens is when God allows good things to happen, here we are getting all up into the spotlight, like bumping God out the way, like, yeah. Popping collars, rubbing your shoulders and everything else, like, hey, I did this. No, you didn't.
Come on.
It's the grace of God and only by the grace of God. He said it is in him, Apostle Paul, in his sermon on Mars Hill, Acts 20. It is in him we live. It is in him we're able to move. And it is in him that we have our very existence. We exist because of him. So everything we do after existing is got to be attributed to him. Because I didn't make myself exist. He did. And if I didn't exist, then I wouldn't be able to do anything. So therefore, at the root of all of what I may do has got to be given to him because he made me exist. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You want to try to run your own life? Make your own heart beat. Amen. If we had to rely on our own self to make our next heartbeat happen, just call the funeral home, because there's going to be a whole bunch of dead people in here. We laugh, but it's real talk. Our very next breath is because of him. I mean, I was talking with someone, some of you, I heard this story, bear with me. And I was trying to tell this young man, we were at Brooks' house, as a matter of fact, trying to tell a young man, because we love secular humanism. Is dominating the church. Secular humanism is putting man at the center.
Look out, son. Look out.
That's what secular humanism does. It puts man at the center. And we love to do that. We love to get the praise. We love the glory. We love the honor. We love it.
Yes.
And we love it so that we will, using the common vernacular here, we will throw God under the bus so that we can get the glory. In a heartbeat. It thinks nothing about it. And pastors are encouraging that behavior because they're acting like they all that in a bag of chips. When they're not even a bag of chips, let alone all of that. So talk to a young man in this, trying to teach him about giving God glory. And I might have been talking about raising Brooke and Brianna. I don't know. You know, like, wow, great job with the family or this and that and the other. I said, yeah, by the grace of God, you know, that's the only reason God. And they said, yeah, but you had to obey. I said, that's true. But Paul, in his address in Mars Hill, said it is in him we live, move, and have our very being. I didn't make myself exist to even be able to raise Brooke and Brianna. So I had to exist first, which is because of God. Then he had to give me a right mind, because there are people who are existing who are not in their right mind. So it's not just because you exist. The grace of God is he gave you a right mind. Remember the old folks who say, no, the Lord woke me up this morning and started me on my way. Oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, look out now. Hallelujah. Well, that's true. He woke me up, not the alarm clock. You know, the old folks just say, take your alarm clock, go down to the morgue and let it go off. Nobody's getting up. The Lord God woke you up this morning by his grace and mercy.
Amen.
You exist because of him. You move because of him. It's all him. He's due all the glory. So anything that I do good is because of him. He gets all the glory. And if you can go with a comma, yeah, but, then you're not listening. Or you just want to give man praise. He said, and he will not allow another to take his glory. I will not allow flesh to glory in my presence. I won't allow it. He's a jealous God. And he's worthy. And he has the right, taking it back to the scripture, he has the right to ask us, give me your body. Present that to me as a living sacrifice. He has the right to do that. If he is truly Lord, if he's truly master, and we are truly a slave, then we have no rights, and he has all the rights. And by the way, that slave talk, not something I just pulled out of the hat, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, verse 20 in particular, says, you are not your own. You were bought with the price. You all know that verse. You are not your own. Let that marinate, my black people. Let that marinate. That's the Holy Ghost talking. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That's slave talk. What's the price? The blood of Jesus. We doing the Hebrew Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. He shed his blood. He got the right to call me whatever you want to call me. I gave you my blood. And, ain't that a blow? See, we'll say Jesus is Lord, but we don't understand what the title really means. When you say he's Lord, you're automatically saying that I'm his slave, because the Lord got to be Lord over something or someone. There got to be some loyal subjects. He's master, Lord, kurios in the Greek. Master, Lord, owner, controller, ruler. All of those words mean Lord. Owner, controller, ruler, sovereign, master. So when you do your Romans 10:9, leave your heart, say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what's implied, he's my Lord, you're saying that you are his slave. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, we don't like it, and we think that we are a slave with rights. We want to do our own thing. We pick and choose scriptures from the Word of God, and we don't like, even pastors do. When he said, love your enemies, during George Floyd, you better love your enemies. You can't, like, not teach that. Because you black and feel a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. Is that any help to the people of God? No. Who are feeling emotional during this very, especially black people, during this time? As pastors, we need to go to the Word of God to bring some calm within our inner mind, our inner peace, in our hearts. You got to speak the word, not opinion. Mm-hmm. Not CNN, not MSNBC, not Oprah. Mm-hmm. You got to speak the word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life. We needed life that time. The word of God is alive. Hebrews 4:12. Alive, King James says quick. It means alive, full of energy. Mm-hmm. Sharper, powerful than any two-edged sword. You got to give the word. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. We need the power of God in our churches, y'all. That's what's leaving the church, is the word of God. And Satan said, cool. Because once you get the word out of there, I can come in and just dominate. Because there's nothing there's nothing else that can touch me, says Satan, except the word of God. Mm. And when you get that out of there, or you weaken it and water it down so that there's no power in it, man, great. Love it. I tell Word of Life all the time, I can pack this church up. We'll need to build stuff all the way over to whatever the next street is, and over here to Inkster Road. Just dumb down the ministry.
Look out,
sir. Yeah, this is Christianity Light, L-I-T-E. Tastes great, but it's less filling. And less powerful.
Come on.
So we can just load it up. Am I right, Mike? We love that. We love the fluff and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Give him the word. Give him the word.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 as we get ready to close here. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're saying that we want to give him our heart and soul. We want to sacrifice our heart and soul. We said, well, that is by loving the Lord our God. Then how do we love the Lord? What does loving the Lord our God with our heart looks like? That's what we're going to answer that question now. We're going to sacrifice our bodies. We start doing that by sacrificing our heart and soul. And we found that is by loving the Lord with all our heart, mind, with loving the Lord our God. And now we're going to talk about what does it mean to love the Lord our God. So you got to keep defining these terms, or else the terms are just, you just religiosize, that's not a word, but today it is. We just religiosize these words. I got funeralize and religiosize. Psalm 23 is the funeralize, so don't mean anything anymore. At a funeral, you kind of hear it because that's the Old Testament scripture. Is somebody going to read the New Testament scripture? And we just kind of move on, and the meaning just dissipates. What does it mean to love the Lord your God? Let's find out. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, comma, but to fear? And by the way, that's another word that's been stripped of its meaning. Fear, we want to just say it just means to be in awe and to revere. We don't want the other part of fear, shaking in your boots, quivering, chattering teeth, knees knocking fear. That is still a part of the word fear. We don't fear God like that anymore. It's because, well, he's a good God and he don't want nobody to be scared of him. Yes, he does. This Hebrew word still, what's couched in this Hebrew definition of fear is still frightened, be frightened and afraid of him. That's still part of it. Yes, being awe and to revere and respect, that is too in there. But to fear the Lord your God, here we are, to walk in all his ways. The word walk means to order the entire being, totality of your life. That's your thoughts, your words, and your actions. To order them in the sphere or the realm of his ways. What is ways? His commands. So to walk in his ways means to obey his commands. To love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So when he begins to talk about loving the Lord your God, he gave verbs: walk, serve, love. Love, biblically speaking, is a verb. Notice Jesus never said, if you love me, say it. God so loved the world that he said it. Hearing his love may manifest that Jesus said it. And all of those verbs are followed. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. If you love me, keep or obey constantly, consistently, and continually my commands. Love is a verb. I've always said about wives, if a wife is ever reduced by her husband to having to hear him say, I love you, that's a problem in that marriage. Love is not, the word of God says, let us not love in word, 1 John. It says that. It's not love in word, comma, but in deed or action and in truth. So if all the wife is here, got to hear the husband say, I love you, or vice versa, and then that's the only way they know they're being loved, that's a problem. The wife is supposed to know that they're loved because of the actions that the husband puts forth on a daily basis as a way of life. Listen to all of that. On a daily basis as a way of life, not a one-time situation or a two-time situation. Being a two-timer, too, we'll let that one go. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, speaking about how do we sacrifice our heart and soul. And what does love look like? Deuteronomy 26. You're in the same book, just down to chapter 26. Look at verse 16. This day, the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. Statutes and rules are what? Commands. Those are just synonyms for the word of God, for his commands, for his laws. This day, the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. Careful to do, there's the verb, to do them. Do what? His word. Telling a young man just a couple of days ago, he believed the Lord is working on him concerning salvation. I said, well, you need to get into a church because you need to be taught how to live for God. And if that void isn't filled with the word of God, the devil will flood it with his theology, which is look out for yourself, get yours while you can. You know what I'm saying? Instead of being selfless, he's going to be selfish, lifted up in pride. So when a person is a child of God, you must get to a Bible teaching church so that you can learn of me, Jesus said in Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find out who I am from my word, not what somebody, not the God to me God. You know who the God to me God is? Well, what do you think about God? Well, God to me. No, that's the God to me God. You can start walking away right away. Just walk on away. Because they give you an opinion about God that is not the God of the Bible. And it is a shame that the God to me God is more popular than the God of the Bible. It is even a shame that the phrase God of the Bible even has to be. You shouldn't have to talk about it, because back in the day it was only one God, in a sense. But now all these other gods, I'm not talking about the gods that from the other religions. I'm talking about the distortion of the so-called God of the Bible God. Remember, Satan is the most subtle beast of the field, Genesis 3 and 1. He's the most subtle beast of the field. Subtle, tricky, slick, sly, not obvious. Just gradually pulling you away. Gradually. To the point we got to say the God of the Bible is different from the God you're talking about. Well, the God of the Bible is saying, I need you to walk in all my ways. I need you to be careful to do with all your heart. Look at Joshua chapter 22. Joshua 22 verse 5. Joshua 22 verse 5. Joshua 22 verse 5. We're still talking about how do we love the Lord our God with all our heart. 22 and 5. Only be very careful to observe. Only be very careful. We just read Deuteronomy 22:16. Therefore, be careful. Joshua 22 and 5 adds, be very careful to observe the commandment. Very careful to observe. What does that mean, the word careful and very careful, those phrases? It means to, with great intentionality, with all deliberateness, with absolute purpose, you make up in your mind by the power of God to obey God's word, come hell or high water. You don't care how you end up looking, lose your job, you're ostracized, you're talked about, friends leave you, all for the gospel's sake. That's what it means. You must be deliberate. It must be intentional. It is going to be on purpose. Even though you know you're about to face some things that are not comfortable and pleasant for you. Well, did not Jesus face that which is uncomfortable and pleasant for him? Does he not have ask us the right to do the same thing? And he absolutely does. Jesus, his humanity, was under such pressure in the garden that Luke tells us that an angel had to be sent down from heaven to strengthen him to get him through the rest of Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Those who know their Bible, you know that's true. That means his humanity was under a lot of stress. He really didn't want to go through this.
Yes.
But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done.
Yes.
But we're saying just opposite. Not your will, but my will be done. Because I'm not going to go through this. And I will kowtow. And I will step in fence. Because I'm not finna face all this. Nah. We throw God under the bus in a heartbeat. We sacrifice his glory for our comfort all the time. Mm-hmm. God, you're not that important to me. Cool what you did, but I can't lose my job. I can't lose my status. And yet, he lost his life. We talking about we don't want to lose a job. And he lost his life. We don't act like true slaves. We don't. We're just instruments to be used for his glory. Miles Davis, when he sat the horn down and took a bow, you think the audience was praising the horn? The trumpet? They were praising the musician. The musician is who got the glory. God is a musician. We're just trumpets. He's blowing through us. And yet we jump off the stand and bump out the jazz player and we take the bow. Because we're living trumpets. We're not inanimate trumpet like a real brass trumpet. So when Miles set it down, he didn't have to worry about the trumpet jumping up and getting off in his way, taking the glory. But we do. We glory in his presence. Constantly, consistently, continually. He's our Father. Joshua 22:5. And we'll close with this. Only be very careful to observe the commandment. Observe means to pay careful attention to. Mm-hmm. It means to scrutinize, to study, to examine the commandment or the word of God. To pay careful attention to the word of God, to scrutinize the word of God, to study the word of God, to examine the word of God. He said, be careful to observe the commandment and the law of Moses, the slave of the Lord, as the slave of the Lord commanded you. To love the Lord your God. Mm-hmm. How? And he answers, and to walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, cling to serve him and with all your heart and with all your soul. So he says, the Lord God commanded the law of Moses, the slave of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God. And he gives to walk in all his ways, to keep means to obey, regard, pay attention to his commandments, and to cling. Cling means to follow closely to him and to serve him with all your heart. Walk, keep, cling and serve. He gave us four verbs after he says, and to love the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, cling to him and serve him with all, and do it with all your heart and with all your soul. Let us bow our heads. Father God, We fall far short of this. Just real talk. We fall far short of this. All of us. I thank you that Hebrews 13, I think verse 5 or 6 says, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. Jesus said in John, I think it's 15, so that you're going to send another comforter, parakletos in the Greek, which means helper, comforter, one called alongside to help us. So we have help. We can, if we're born again, we can do better because you will help us. But what we must do is to present our body, to surrender all that we are, to put us at your disposal to do with our bodies as you will. I pray, Father, that that will be our attitude, to completely submit ourselves to you as a slave to a master. And when we do, you said in your word, Hebrews 11 and 6, I believe, that they who come to you must first believe that you are and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Help us, Father, to be that diligent seeker of you. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen. 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 Let's prepare for offering. If you are would like to give to this ministry, lift a hand where you are, and one will be given to you. An offering envelope will be given to you, or a prayer request form. If you want a prayer request form or an offering envelope, please lift one hand where you are, and one will be given to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Into your marvelous light.